1 verses 3 through 6 tonight. We've been talking about reasons why we praise God. And boy, I tell you, personally, I don't have to look very far for a reason to praise God. But what are you praising Him for? Watching over you, taking care of you? He's the only living God. What else? He gave you life. Yeah. Yeah. That is life, isn't it? That is life. Woo! Yeah. For the last 15 years or so, I've been doing a remodel on our house. At least it feels like 15 years. It really hasn't been, but I'm not a carpenter. I'm especially not a finished carpenter. But yet, we have seen, Mike and I have seen how the Lord gives us wisdom beyond ourselves. He gives us wisdom. We bounce things off each other, and the Lord is really makes us sometimes stop what we're doing and think about what we're doing and how we're going to do it. It's been a real challenge, but it's been a real learning experience. So I praise God for that. I praise God that He still is imparting wisdom, Mary. He still grants wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. We have to learn. We have to get back to learning to ask God. I mean, our Savior was a carpenter. Hello. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption. How many of you know you've been adopted? Amen? We've been adopted. Predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 3 says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, I know we talked about this last week, but my hope is that we ponder some of this stuff that we talk about on Wednesday nights and on Sunday nights, is when it's more of a teaching environment than a preaching environment like on Sundays. And so what does it even mean to us? What do we think about when we think about the fact that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? What does that even mean to us? That has like a little question mark at the end of it, which makes it a question. It's definitely that. Yeah. How else would we get through life if we didn't have that book? How would we know what is ours without that book? How would we know how to walk and live and all those kinds of things? Yes, we can pray, and yes, God can answer us, but man, His Word is packed full of the blessings of God. And what it really means is that in Christ we have all the benefits of knowing God. We have all the benefits of knowing God. We have the benefit of being chosen for salvation. He chose you and I. When did He choose you, Kathy? Exactly. He chose you before the foundations of the earth. In fact, the Bible says He chose you while you were His enemy. What in the world? It's amazing. It's beyond amazing. We've been chosen for salvation, and not only chosen, but we have been adopted as His children. King David had a friend, more than a friend. He was more like a brother in Jonathan. And Jonathan and David were buddies. And when Jonathan died, and David took over as king, he found, wasn't it Mephibosheth, who was crippled in his feet? And because of David's love for Jonathan, he brought Mephibosheth to the table and cared for him cared for him and provided for him for everything that he needed. See, that's an act of love. Yeah, for sure. Anybody else, they would have. In fact, they thought that's what they were doing when they were looking for him. They thought they were coming to kill him. But no, David extended grace. How many of you know God ought to just kill us? You know, I mean, our performance isn't all that great at our best. But yet He grants us mercy and He loves us. We are adopted as His children. We've been chosen. These are benefits. We have forgiveness. How many of you are grateful for forgiveness? And God gives us insight. Insight. He's given us, here's one, He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, church, are still in operation today. He's endued us with power to do God's will. He's given us the hope of living, like Anthony said, forever with Christ. That's life, everlasting. So because we have this intimate relationship with Christ, we can enjoy all these blessings right now. Amen? Listen, when you know where you're going to spend eternity, it changes the way you look at the present. It changes it. Paul says that God chose us to emphasize that salvation, your salvation, depends upon God. Yes, you have to acknowledge Him. Yes, you have to ask for forgiveness. But the Bible says it's the Spirit of God that draws men. God draws us by His Spirit. We are not saved because we deserve it. We are saved because God is gracious and He has freely given us salvation. Think about this. Think about people that don't get saved. Think about people that don't get saved. Yes, It's their choice. But think about it from God and from Jesus' perspective. Because for every person that goes to hell, what that says is the value of the life of Jesus was not enough. The sin in their life and the lifestyle that they chose, I don't even think you can use the word, I don't think you can use ignorance as an excuse. I don't think you can use ignorance, because ignorance is unlearned. You can look at that hillside right there and see God's hand. You can look around, it doesn't take much to see the hand of God. We don't influence His influence, or we don't influence His decision to save us. His plan has, well, let me tell you what His plan is. His plan is this, that not anyone would die. That's His plan. I know that because of whosoever, number one, and I know that because the Scripture says that God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That's God's perfect will. But God has a permissive will that says, listen, if you just want to sit there and fan yourself and just go to hell, then you just can. Because He ain't going to force Himself on anybody. So He doesn't influence. We don't influence His decision to save us. He saved us because it was His plan. And so there's no way to take credit for our salvation or allow room for pride. Well, look at me. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. That's bad. The mystery of our salvation originated, and I love this, it originated in the timeless mind of God long before we ever existed. Now think about that for a moment. Because we're here for a vapor. Our life is but a vapor. We go by a watch. Every 24 hours we get a new day. Every 30 or 31 days, we get a new month. Every 365 days, we get a new year. God's not affected by the calendar or by a watch. He's timeless. A day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. See, we sit there and we're going, We try and calculate that all out. We try and figure it out. There's no way we can figure it out. We can't fathom that. God is not controlled by time. So, I don't know how. He's timeless. He's timeless. It was just yesterday that His Son died on the cross. Well, if you want to go by a thousand years as a day, it was 2 days ago. But forever, how long has it been since the garden? 6,000-7,000 years? He's been looking forward to the day you got saved since then. Well, and that's not even a true statement, because it was way before that. Because his mind is timeless. We're looking at the clock, because in a few hours we're going to be in bed, and a few more hours we've got to get up. Right? We're controlled, we're governed by a clock, and God's not. It was His timeless. His timeless mind, long before we existed. And so it makes it really hard for us to understand. At least it is for me. I mean, I look out over the congregation oftentimes, and I look at different ones, and I think, you know, they're just so sweet. I think Tammy is so sweet. She made She made me zucchini bread today. She's really, really sweet. Amen. But how in the world could God accept somebody like me? That's what I have trouble with. Because I know me. But it's because of Christ, you and I are holy and we are blameless. Blameless in His sight. He chose us and we belong to Him through Jesus Christ. And God looks at you and I as if we never sinned. All we can do is express our thanks to Him for His wonderful love and praise Him from the bottom of our heart. Another reason why we want to praise the Lord is for any specific acts of deliverance in your life, like being rescued from the enemies, from our enemies, or being healed from some disease, or maybe you've been set free from drugs or alcohol. I don't know how far we'll get, but I want to look at several passages in Scripture. Psalm 9, verses 1 through 5 says, I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all of Your marvelous works. I'm going to stop right there. Who are you telling of God's marvelous works? Because if you go to Matthew 28 and verse 18, it says very explicitly there, go ye into all the world. Make disciples. How do I make disciples? You tell everybody you can about His marvelous works in your life. What He did in your life. You don't have to tell Him what He did in my life. Tell Him what He did in your life. How He made a difference in your life. How He changed the course of your life. How He changed your eternal destination in your life. What that looks like to you. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. And when my enemies turn back, how many of you know just because the enemies flee from you, how many of you know they're still going to turn back? They're going to come at you again. And again, and again. So when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at Your presence. For You have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. David offers this wholehearted praise to the Lord for delivering him and his army from the enemy nations that attacked Israel. His aim, David's of course, was to honor the Lord, not to glorify himself. David recognized early on that he was an instrument in the hands of God. He was a yielded vessel. So his aim was to honor the Lord and not glorify himself. His joy was in the Lord, not just in the great victories that he had been given. And he wanted to tell everybody about the wonderful works of God. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. How many of you wait patiently for the Lord? How many of us get impatient waiting for the Lord? Listen, Lord, I want it right now. We are not a patient people oftentimes. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up, listen, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. You can put your name in that. I put my name in that. Because He certainly brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. No matter what our trouble or our trial, it's always good to look back and recall the goodness of God. In fact, when you're having a bad day, when everything's going gunny sack in your life, that's a good day to take your eyes off of your mess and put them on the goodness of God. To put them on what God has done. Listen, ain't nothing going well for me today. Nothing seems to be going right. But one thing I know, God's been good to me. In fact, I remember just the other day when God showed up just in time and blessed me with this blessing. It's always good to look back and recall the goodness of the Lord. David, in fact, remembered how long he had waited before the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from Saul. Have you ever read the story of David and Saul? Have you ever went back and just read through there? I mean, can you imagine sitting at the dinner table with somebody and having them throwing spears at you at the table? For crying out loud. We're in Psalms. First Samuel. Yeah, you won't find that story in there. Yeah. David remembered how long he had waited before the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from Saul, but the day did come when God inclined his ear, heard his cry, and lifted him from this pit. And if David learned anything from his years in exile, it was that ultimate success depends upon faith in the Lord and patience during His providential working. God is working in your life. Not everything might be the way you want it to be in your life right now, but I got news for you. I got good news for you. God is working His plan. God is not forgot about you. God has not forgot the promise that He's given you. God is just working His plan. He's just working His deal. So if David learned, he learned that God is doing what He said He would do and that He was working in his life. I heard about this old country preacher and how he used verses 2 and 3 of this passage for a sermon text. And his point were this: God brought him up, God stood him up, and God tuned him up. God brought him up, God stood him up, and God tuned him up. David had a brand new beginning with a new song of praise in his mouth, and God helped David because he trusted the Lord. He did not show respect to the arrogant who opposed God, and he remained true to the Lord God of Israel. Why wouldn't he? God was so faithful to David. God showed up so many times in David's life. David suffered hardship at the hand of God, but the hardship was brought on by the choices that David made. We have to remember that there is a price to pay. Let me share one more. Psalm 56, verses 59. Excuse me. I just freaked Michelle out. Michelle, look, peeking at me over the top of the screen. What? Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble, to you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. See, throughout this whole psalm, David describes the grim detail of the behavior of his enemies, and he begins to convey his own feelings of dread with the desperation and the despair that he sees in the lives of those who want to harm him. But in these final verses, we read about God's role in David's life as a refuge and a place of safety and a source of unfailing love. No matter how bad it is in your life, no matter how bad things get, God is always right there. How many times have I heard people say, I can't bear anymore? There's a promise buried in Scripture, and it says that God will not allow any more to come on you than what you can handle. The enemy would tell you, you can't take anymore, you should just end it. In fact, that's why so many people commit suicide. Grow through what you go through. Wow, there's a lot of power and a lot of truth in that statement that Michelle just made, that she heard that a saying that we should grow through what we go through. Listen, if you're not growing through the trials and the tribulations, you're just getting beat up. You're just getting beat up. That's what that whole thing is about. Grow through what you go through. Listen, if you're going to go through the process and go through the pain, learn something through it. David learned to turn negative circumstances into reminders of God's faithful presence. Psalm 23 is a very strong illustration of that very point. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I don't know how many times I had read that scripture. I don't know how many times I've preached on that scripture, but I know this. One day, that scripture hit me like a ton of bricks. Because the emphasis was on the valley of the shadow of death. The valley. Our attention should be on the word through. Because we're not just going into a valley of death. We're going through it. We're coming out on the other side. And what's on the other side? What's that? Victory. But in that particular psalm, what's on the other side? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemy. Think about that. The Lord's preparing this table before David in the presence of his enemy. David realizes and understands that he is so protected by God, that God is so watching over him, that David can just sit down at this table and eat this meal that the Lord has put before him, right in the presence of his enemies. Why? Because he learned one thing. He learned that God is protecting him. David learned to turn negative circumstances into reminders of God's faithful presence. What stresses in your life might be transformed today if you made them a starting point for praising God? Let me ask you that again. What stresses? Well, let me ask you this. Has anybody got stresses in their life? Anybody? What stresses in your life could be transformed today if you made them a starting point for praising the Lord? Just real quickly, let me give you one more. I got 2 minutes left. Or three. Maybe four. Maybe six. I might take 10. One more. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 12, reading through verse 19. And he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went. Those are important words. As they went, they were cleansed. You get the picture? They lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And verse 15 is a pivotal verse. It is an important verse. Listen to what it says, verse 15. And one of them, how many was there? There's 10 of them. And one of them, in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus is checking himself to see if maybe something went wrong somewhere, because there were 10 of them. He told all of them to go. They all were cleansed in verse 14. But in verse 15, only one of them comes back. And Jesus says to him, were not 10 cleansed? I mean, didn't everybody get cleansed? That's what Jesus is asking. Jesus knows the answer, but he's pointing something out. He said, where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him in verse 19, I love this because this is one of the benefits of praise. Verse 19, he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. The King James says, your faith has made you whole. It's important to find out what those words are, because what happened was the other 9 got healed. In fact, all 10 of them got healed. Right? But because this one guy goes back and gives praise to glory and glory to God through Jesus for what happened, the Bible says he was made whole. Now, what did they have? They had leprosy. And if you know anything about leprosy, parts start falling off. Yeah. Fingers, all kinds of... It's a horrible thing. They were lepers. They, you know, like the woman with the issue of blood had to cry out all the time, unclean, unclean. Lepers had to do the same thing. Unclean, unclean, don't come anywhere near me. And so because leprosy was contagious, people who had leprosy are required to stay away from other people and announce their presence if they had to come near them. And sometimes leprosy would go into remission. But this one leper came back and gave glory to God. And God said, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. If he had lost body parts, I believe that what he's saying here is he was restored. Fingers all come back, ears come back, whatever the case. If a leper thought that his leprosy had gone away, he was supposed to present himself to the priest, and the priest would then declare him clean according to Leviticus chapter 14. So Jesus sends these 10 lepers to the priest before they are healed, and they went, and they responded in faith, and so Jesus heals them on the way to the priest. He healed all 10, but only this one guy, who wasn't even a Jew, came back and gave thanks to God for healing him. Isn't it just like us sometimes to be grateful or to recognize God healed us, but now that God has healed me, I just got so much stuff that I've got to do. I just can't wait around. I can't go back to church. I can't go and thank God. I can't be grateful for what He did. I'm healed now. I don't have to run around screaming unclean, unclean anymore. I just can just run. I can go to the lake. I can go on a picnic. I can go over to the beach. I can do all this stuff. But this one leper saw the value in what he had done, saw the source of it, and came back and said, God, I just want to thank you and give you praise for what you've done in my life. A Gentile dog, a Samaritan. And he came back and he thanked God for what he did. It is possible, church. This is going to be hurtful to some. It is possible to receive God's greatest gifts with an ungrateful spirit. It is possible to receive God's greatest gift and have an ungrateful spirit. In fact, 9 of the 10 did exactly that. Only the thankful man learned that his faith had played a role in his healing, and only grateful Christians grow in understanding God's grace. How do we grow in understanding God's grace? We grow in understanding God's grace by thanking God and praising God when He's given us grace. When He's bestowed grace. When He's brought healing. When you felt His presence, when He was there for you in the night hours and all this and that. It's when we begin to say, thank you, God, and we begin to understand His grace. God does not demand that we thank Him. But He doesn't demand it. He doesn't demand it, but He is pleased when we do so. And He uses our responsiveness to teach us more about Himself. God is such a gracious God. He is such a loving God. We ought to be able to praise Him every day, all day long, for all that He does for us. Amen? God is a good, good God. And He's mindful of us. He's watching over us. What are those things, those stresses in your life that I talked about earlier, that if you would just turn them into praise, God would deal with those things in your life? Amen. This week, I want you to not focus and not concentrate on the stresses, but focus and concentrate on the blesser. On the blesser. Turn those stresses into praise and watch what God does in your life. And when we come back next week, we'll talk about it and we'll see what it is that God is doing in your life. And how, I mean, come next week. Come next Wednesday with a testimony of times. Write it down. Document it. This thing was stressing me out, Pastor, but I began to praise God in the midst of my stress, and this is what God did. Amen? Come and be an encourager of those things. Father, I thank you for this night. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for this story of these 10 lepers. And I thank you of the illustration that what happens when we come back and give you glory and give you thanks for what you've done in our life. Lord, I pray, God, that you would restore each one of us as we begin to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, we look forward now to Thursday morning for the lady, Friday night for the men's, and God, for Sunday morning. God, bring us back together. We're so grateful for what you did. We thank you and praise you for the lives that were baptized on Sunday, for other lives, God, that came to this altar and gave you their lives. God, transformed their lives that Sunday morning. God, watch over us. Again, be with Kathy and heal her. Be with Big Steve and heal him, Lord. God, I pray for Mike Hader and ask you to touch him. God, different ones, Lord, that need your touch in their bodies. And God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching tonight by way of the internet. I hope that you're getting something out of this Bible study. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. And thank God it's supposed to cool off tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. And